Welcome to the You Are Covered podcast. I'm Hannah Lynn Miller. I am your host, and I am joining you right now from the comfortable place of my bedroom. Actually, I have not been feeling well, and you know, I have not taken time off of my internship yet this whole year. So I'm basically having like a little mental health day. And, you know, it made me think a little bit more about like priorities and like how am I going to finish well in this last month of this degree. And I think a big thing for me is knowing my limits and also knowing that this is another transition period of time. And so for myself, I'm like, all right, what do I do to keep sanity? And I love doing this podcast, but I know that I haven't been very consistent, and I apologize for that. So I decided to change things up. I was like, you know, I'd probably record this a lot more often and be able to put more effort into it if I knew that, you know, I didn't have to put makeup on and like get the video set up and everything like that. So just to keep things more simple during the season, I'm going to just do a podcast. And it's not going to have video to it for now. So we'll see about in the future. So I am, you know, sitting on my bed and I'm in my comfy clothes, and just being able to chat with you is so cool. And I just love this opportunity. And we're going to talk about some really fun things. They kind of all ebb and flow. But last week, I mixed it up a little bit and started with fashion. I think I'm going to do that again, but let me know if that's something that you'd want to do. If you'd like, you know, fashion to be first and then theology and then therapy, or we switch it up more. I'm still just feeling this thing out. So if you have any opinions, let me know, because this is your podcast. I'm doing this for you. So let me know. But I did want to start with, the topic of fashion. And I, as I said, like this is kind of, they're all kind of going together, which is going to be fun. And basically what we're going to talk about is fashion theology. I've got this phenomenal book that I have not read all the way through yet, but I really want to. It's the only one of its kind. I have not found a book on fashion theology yet that is this extensive and this powerful, but it's by Robert Cavolo, and he wrote the title is literally just Fashion Theology. He's got some connections to Wheaton, which I find interesting. It's funny how like you can trace these things to Chicagoland area. A lot of times if something is published in theology or Christianity or something like that, it's a lot of times you can trace it back to where I am located. And so I really enjoy his writing so far. I have not finished this book. So for our fashion segment, we are going to bring in some theology. And I'm just going to read this a little bit. I know last episode we did talk about the white tee and cotton and when that was introduced to being more of a look, a fashion icon moment with Marie Antoinette. And so this is kind of going along with the same vein. And it's talking about when fashion does make a moment, especially in history that is reforming. And so, you know, so this is kind of, I'm just going to read you a paragraph from this book, Fashion Theology, Robert Cavolo. And this is on page 45, the chapter Fashion Theology as Public Discourse. I find this so fascinating because a lot of times with theology and what's going on in religion and in history and in the church and Christianity, a lot of times has to do with history that's happening, you know, in the public eye and in history. And so I love this because we're gonna talk about the suit, the male suit, the that's how I was like, wait a second, that doesn't sound right. But that is how the book is describing this. And I think it's really fascinating. So I'm just going to read to you a little bit of this. Okay. The puzzling relationship between fashion and theology surfaces in modern public life. With the advent of modern democracy, the established union between dress, faith, and public life was fractured, revealing deeper dynamics that had once connected these seemingly desperate areas of life. The emerging relationship between fashion and faith in modern democracies is epitomized in one of the most endearing outfits in modern history, the male suit. The suit has been around for hundreds of years, having emerged from the upheaval of the French Revolution. It was here, signaling the rejection of both king and bishop, that the suit was tactfully embraced at the embodiment of universal male reason and dignity, thereby establishing universal male suffrage. Very interesting. But the secular impulse of the French Revolution was not the sole factor establishing the rise of the suit. Sewn into the suit's seams are not only the Enlightenment's emergent ideas of nature and reason, but also the sober probability and clerical integrity of the 17th century Protestantism. This is why the suit could be donned by both French atheists and American Presbyterians, for within their respective theological or naturalistic reasoning, each subscribed to the same unarticulated logic. Uniformity in male dress facilitated democracy, which is something that they didn't have previously in history. The suit continues to manifest the enigmatic relationship between fashion theology and public discourse. As such, it identifies an important angle into fashion theology, the role of fashion and theology in public discourse. So that's just a little paragraph. Actually, a whole page in this book, Fashion Theology, Robert Cavolo. And I just find it fascinating because I know we had talked a little bit about Marie Antoinette and her fashion choices and how that influenced things. And this is kind of more of a perspective of how, you know, history changed, where all of a sudden people of faith and also people of science, they were so divided previously. And then now, because of agreeing that they no longer wanted a monarchy, they wanted democracy, all of a sudden they were looking the same. They were talking about the same things. And so you can see that in a big, big way is the male suit and how it changed. And it changed from showing, you know, your stance in your role in life, where, you know, you could be a lord or lady or king or queen or whatever, And then now it's signifying that you're all equals. And so just a fun little fashion history moment, some theology to throw in this episode. I hope you enjoy it. You should check out the book. It is a little bit more deep for the read, and I've been wanting to dive into it more. Probably when I'm done with this program, I will. But it's fun to share my favorite little snippets with you so far. So hope you enjoy. For our devotional or theology segment, I wanted to talk a little bit about redirection. I have had a few of these moments in my life. I think 20s is just this big time of redirection. I just feel like you are figuring out life so much. And so your 20s can be just a lot of going and being pulled different directions. And so I really wanted to share about some of my experiences and what has helped me in like a good perspective. And it kind of reminded me of this part of our trip. We went to Mexico over Christmas vacation, and coming back, we realized that we weren't checked in, and all of a sudden, you know, the airlines this year has been just crazy, like just insane. And so we realized we didn't have seats for whatever reason on the airplane that we were supposed to get a ride back to Chicago. So we're in Mexico. My parents aren't with us. We're driving back, or we're flying back with my two sisters and John. And John, if you know him, he gets so stressed out in airports. Like, I've never traveled. I don't think I've ever, besides my mom gets exactly the same way. I've never traveled with anybody so stressful. He just gets really overwhelmed, and he doesn't like TSA. I mean, no one does, but he just like really doesn't like it. Like, he's talking about it the whole time. So it was just, this was just not a fun situation to be in, and specifically with him, because he's just, and it's for me, when I'm stressed out, sometimes like it gets me. Here's the thing. If you know me well, like, you know that if I'm really stressed out, like beyond stressed, I will start laughing about everything. Like, if I'm anxious, and it made for really good radio, but if I'm anxious or overwhelmed or anything like that, I am laughing my head off about things. Just like, things just start getting humorous for me, because I'm like, of course this would happen, you know? So that's how I react. And sometimes it's very off-putting, and sometimes it's off-putting for me too. Anyways, we were kind of in that mode. We're like, what are we going to do? And I forget what actually happened, but somehow we did get on a flight and we got redirected to Boston instead of O'Hare. So we had to have a connecting flight, which we weren't expecting. We didn't really want to do that. But for some reason, that's what ended up happening. And when we got to, you know what, maybe it wasn't Boston. Maybe it was, you know what, it was Michigan. It was not Baltimore. That's not. Why am I spacing? Detroit. That's what it was. It was Detroit. We got like, flew into Detroit or something. I'm pretty sure it was Detroit. Anyways, not that important. So we drive, okay? We fly to Detroit. We get there. We have to go through customs. When we go through customs, O'Hare is a nightmare to go through customs. And we got through customs so quickly in Detroit, because it's a smallerish airport. It really wasn't that bad. And I was just thinking about how, I mean, it was a really good lesson, I feel like, for my husband, first off. I'm like, look, babe, it all worked out. And it was like, it worked out for the better, you know? It's not fun to have another joining flight, you know? But it ended up being great. Like, we didn't have to go through all the O'Hare craziness. Like, I was so thankful for that. And so I just was like, look at that. And then John just, oh my gosh, he's so funny. He could not stop talking about how good this was. He's like, this was the best thing that could have happened, guys. This was so good. This was like the best thing ever. We didn't have to go through O'Hare. Oh my gosh, O'Hare is the worst. And he just went on and on. He's so funny. And my sisters are just like laughing it off. And I'm like rolling my eyes. So I'm like, oh my gosh, can we stop talking about this? And that was our entire trip back from Mexico, the family vacay. But yeah, it was just funny because I was thinking, I was like, this is a good teaching moment of how sometimes, you know, you do have to go through hard things. Sometimes you do go through life where you do have to get redirected and you do have to have adjoining flights and you do have to get on another airplane and wait to board again. And life is like that. There's things that happen, like you don't get into the school you want to get into, or you end up not marrying the person you thought you would. You end up graduating from college and not knowing what you want to do and actually hating what you studied. Like there's so many things that can happen in life that feels like a complete redirection. And at the moment, it might not look that way. It might look like the worst thing in the world. Like it might be the most frustrating thing. You might be like, where am I going to end up? I know when we were getting that redirection, that redirect flight, it felt like where is our baggage going to land? Like, where are we going to lose our luggage? Like, where is all that going to end up? And it all worked out. But I think we can't like over spiritualize those redirections, right? Sometimes they just happen. And sometimes it takes a really long time to see the good in it. And sometimes that's how, I mean, I think traveling is such a good illustration for how life works out. And I think that that's just how traveling can be. And that's how life can be. It feels like it can be a long journey before you look back and you're like, wow, I'm so glad that happened. And so I want to talk about just the frustrating concept of redirection. And I think it's frustrating because we do have our own plans and we do have our own goals or our own perspective of how life should turn out. Listen, I was the queen of trying to not plan my life and trying to like go with the flow. Like I know I probably sound like I'm not that kind of person, like that I'm super type A and I have all of these plans. But I think in high school and college, I really wanted to have an open hand and like really wanted to be flexible with my life, which is a whole nother issue. And that can sometimes happen when you don't feel like you have control over your life and your decisions. But I soon learned that you can plan out things, and that is a beautiful thing, and that's good. And we should still do that because God gave us the ability to plan and to dream for a reason. But I think having the perspective that God is sovereign in so many ways, and He does know our next steps, and He does know our thoughts, and He knows our life, and He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. And having that perspective when we're making plans is important, but it can also be really frustrating when we do have goals and plans and we think that those are aligned with God's purpose for our life and it just doesn't seem to work out, or our head is just, we're just hitting our head against the glass or whatever. It's just like, it can be really frustrating. So here's a few things that I just jotted down. First off, Proverbs 16:9 says that a man's heart devises his way. The Lord directs his steps. And I think a big thing is making sure that you are aligning with God and just talk to him. Just talk to him about your plans. Like, just say, hey, like, this is something that I feel like you've put on my heart and I don't know how you're going to do it. I have no clue, but I'm going to trust you, God. Like, I'm going to trust you all the way. Man, I get like choked up just thinking about that because it can be so hard and vulnerable and confusing, but just being able to talk to him and say, hey, this is where I'm at and this is my goals or this is my dream and I'm just really wanting to trust you in this. And I think that's so powerful. And the Lord will direct your steps. I mean, I want that for me. I want the Lord to show me the right way to go. And sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he's like, there are so many options, Hannah. I want you to pick. And that's cool. I don't really know how all that works, but but that is something. And the sovereignty of God. So no, saying that God is sovereign, it just is saying that he's actually ultimately in control of everything. And that word is just a theological term saying that God is God, basically. And so keeping that in perspective and knowing that, you know, we are so finite. We don't know 2 seconds ahead of us. And God does, and he is sovereign, can really give us a perspective when things aren't working out or when there is a redirection and give us some peace. Listen, I thought that I would be in radio for years. I thought that that was going to be my main career. When I came into that, before that, I thought I was going to be a mental health counselor. And that actually had a lot of bumps to it as well. So I've had like 3 redirections. And then I came back to, you know, what God had placed on my heart when I was 18. And I'm hoping that that continues. But, you know, I don't know. And there's reasons for redirections. And sometimes with radio, I don't really know why it turned out the way that it did or why it was such a frustrating process or why it was so hard to continue my schooling at the same time and not having flexible working situations. I don't really know. I don't know why that worked out, but I'm trusting that God is going to do something good with that. And you know, there's so much more there, but I trust and I've seen this happen that redirections are for my benefit. They're hard. They're not fun. And I want to share lastly something that a fellow counselor shared in her devotional to the staff at the counselors at Wheaton College. And it was really beautiful. I mean, you know, when you know a person's story and then they're sharing it and then they're sharing what God has done and what that he's revealed to them about a certain verse, it's really powerful. And this lady has not had, I mean, she has gone through it. Let's just put it that way. And so when she says that her life verse is Romans 8:28, I'm like, oh, okay. And that verse reads, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." And she read that and she was like, that's my life verse. And for me, it's so powerful because I know a little bit of her story. And she said, the good and the bad work together. Like, you can't just say that just the good is working out for my good when you love God. It's both. It's everything. It's the good and the bad. And that works together to create something. And she used the illustration of like the positive and negative energy in a battery that creates momentum. It creates life. It creates growth. It creates movement. And I thought that was such a beautiful illustration because, yeah, sometimes I'm like, okay, but not everything's ending up good, God, right now. But you need both of those things. You need the good and the bad, kind of like with my flight. You know, it was still frustrating, the whole process, but it ended up being less frustrating in the end. And it created a better situation for us in the end, looking back. And that's sometimes how life works out. But we can trust that the good and the bad are going to work together to create something purposeful, something according to his purpose for us. You know, it's going to work out. It's going to pull together. You're going to look back and be like, oh, that's why God did that. And I think that's really powerful. So I hope that encourages your heart today. Again, that verse is Romans 8:28. And also check out Proverbs 16:9, because I think it's comforting sometimes just remembering that God is sovereign and he does direct our steps if we ask and then talk to him about it. Spiritual bypassing. Have you heard of this term? Listen, I think that this is such a good term because we've all been guilty of it, especially in Christianity, I feel like. And It's similar to toxic positivity, and maybe in another episode we'll talk about that. But spiritual bypassing is a really interesting term, and it's different than spiritual gaslighting. So I want you to just remember that, because I think we're going to talk about that term in another episode. So make sure you're subscribed. But yeah, we're going to talk about spiritual bypassing. So what it is, and I'll just read the definition. It's defined as using one's spirituality to avoid facing unresolved issues, either on a personal, interpersonal, or a systemic level. The term was actually made popular in the 1980s by John Wellwood, and he was a Buddhist teacher and psychotherapist who observed the phenomenon in his own spiritual community. So this is not something that was termed by a Christian in a Christian community, which is interesting to me because I see this all the time in Christianity. It's so interesting. But we can totally use it as something to just give ourselves a check, like a heart check on this. And it's actually can do a lot of harm if you are overly spiritualizing things that you need healing in, because emotional work is physical. It is also spiritual, but you can't just ignore parts of yourself, you know, because we are, I believe, spiritual, physical, emotional beings. And ignoring any of those parts of you is can be very damaging. And yeah, so this is used a lot in childhood work, because a lot of times you can over-spiritualize things or to avoid unfinished business from the past. And it's usually childhood work because it's hard. This work leads to emotional healing and the ability to live a life of authenticity, intimacy, and vulnerability when you are able to face those hardships. And this is from Therapy for Christians, their website. And I thought these were really good bullet points about spiritual bypassing. Spiritual bypassing is the tendency to use spiritual ideas and practices to sidestep or avoid facing unresolved emotional issues, psychological wounds, and unfinished developmental tasks. Common examples of spiritual bypassing include bottling up emotions because you think that what you're feeling is wrong. Not admitting that you're anxious, stressed, or depressed because you might be thinking that you're a bad Christian. Deciding to ignore your emotions or a situation because you are afraid it will affect your faith. So those are some things. And to figure out if you've actually been doing spiritual bypassing on yourself, there's a few questions that you can ask. And I think it's really important to note here that this is the difference between gaslighting and bypassing is that you're doing it to yourself. Gaslighting is when you start doing that to other people. So spiritual bypassing is doing that to yourself. It's skipping the healing process and doing the soul work that you need in order to fully heal, especially from like things like trauma or a relationship hurt or childhood wounds. So here's some questions to ask. Do I pretend that things are okay when they are clearly not? Do I have feelings of detachment? Do I feel not connected to people? Do I always think that I have to rise above my emotions? Do I belittle my emotions in order to kind of shove them down? Do I avoid feelings of anger, shame, or sadness? Do you maybe numb those feelings? Do you try to suppress it? Do I use my faith as a way to hide from my insecurities? They could probably be looked at as like trying to be the best in your family or the best Christian in your church, whatever that looks like or whatever that's defined as. That's kind of a tricky one right there. Do I use defense mechanisms like denial and repression? So do I use defense mechanisms like denial and repression? Do I focus only on eternity while ignoring the present? That is something the Lord does not want for your life. We are here on earth for a reason, for us to live abundantly more lives. Abundantly more. To live abundantly more. Do I think I can overcome all my problems solely with positive thinking? Do I project my own negative feelings onto others? Do I have incredibly high, probable, unattainable idealism? And if you've answered yes to any of these questions, you've probably been spiritually bypassing your emotions. And that needs to stop. Girlfriend, we need to stop that, okay? We really do. I promise you, life doesn't need to be that hard. You can do it. You can go through the healing. So Ecclesiastes 3:1-5 says, there is a time for everything and a season for everything, every activity under the heavens, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. That's straight from the Bible, okay? There is a time for all of these things. There's a time to go through healing. There's a time to grieve. And I think in the Western church in America, I think it's very, very common to look at emotions as weakness or not needed or not necessary. And like, you know that you're not going to get away with that on this podcast. You know that we do not adhere to that belief system, okay? And I think if you look at any other culture out there, they are so much more just okay with emotions and going through grief process and stuff like that. So much better than our culture. And I just think that it's interesting that we pair that with Christianity. Like we pair that belief system of suppressing emotions and grief. I mean, you go to Africa and they have like a whole process of grief, like that you're grieving with other people. And we just don't have that here. And it's really sad. And then we've paired it with our faith and we make it something spiritual to like not feel feelings. It's very damaging. So don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. And then we're going to get into spiritual gaslighting and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about some signs to look at for if that's happening to you, if someone's doing that to you. You know, we just need to cut it out. As Christians, like we should be way more okay with emotions and being vulnerable and talking about the things that we're struggling with, okay? Because there's no condemnation in Christ, okay, friend? Anyways, so I told you it all kind of mixed together and I feel like that was a devotional in itself. It spoke to my soul. But yeah, that is spiritual bypassing. You can find all these notes on my website on youarecoveredpodcast.com. And click on those show notes and I will have just all these. I have like a whole bunch of just random things that I found about spiritual bypassing that I think has been really helpful for me. And you'll also find the book that we were reading about fashion theology and the verses for redirection. But I hope you enjoy this episode. I really enjoyed it too. I'm like just chilling here in my bed, but now I'm getting tired. So I'm gonna go sleep a little bit so that I can make it to my internship tomorrow. But I am so happy that you are here, that we get to connect like this. And I hope I talk to you next week. See you in the next episode.